KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, it was October 11th, 1798. President John Adams directed remarks to the officers of the 1st Brigade of the 3rd Division of the Militia of Massachusetts, in which he was stated this: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And as our morals and religious devotion is in a free fall today, is it any wonder why we're seeing so many matters that are contributing to the very collapse of our nation? Whether it be matters to the integrity of our elections, to the spending and printing of money that's completely off the charts, chaos at our southern border, extreme environmental action, education system that is falling prey to the LGBTQ plus agenda, to the destruction of our nation's heritage, our true history, anarchy in communities across the nation. We're seeing this destruction taking place, attacks on the Second Amendment, our nation's response to COVID from shutdown all the way to vaccination passports. There's government overreach, and yes, the deep state as well. All of these things a part of the transformation of our nation. Are these just accidental or coincidental, or are they all interconnected for another purpose? Well, joining us in studio today, we welcome Alex Newman in to the studio with us today. Alex is a award-winning international freelance journalist, author, researcher, educator, and consultant. He's a foreign correspondent, regular contributor for the New American Magazine. He contributes as well to many other publications. Alex has authored or co-authored several books like Crimes of the Educators, Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, also recipient of the 2020 Dr. Robert Dreyfus Courageous Christian Leadership Award. Alex, good to have you here in town.
It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
So all these things I mentioned at the outset, are they accidental, are they coincidental, or are they purposeful?
They are absolutely deliberate, and there is a guiding hand behind all of it. It is orchestrated, and at the superficial level, you can see kind of the individuals involved, the organizations involved. I point often to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the Trilaterals, the little secret societies like the Bohemian Grove people out in California, the Skull and Bones Society at Yale University. But I think as Christians, we need to look at this from a biblical perspective, and that's even more important than just looking at the individuals and organizations. And I think when you read Scripture and you look at the text for what it says, it's very clear that there is a guiding hand behind all of this. The commander-in-chief of the forces that are leading us down this path, I think very clearly, is Satan. And I think that comes through all of Scripture, and I think Christians need to understand the world that way, or they won't understand what's happening.
Is there any point you can look back in history, Alex, and say, this was the turning point?
Well, there have been several incredibly significant turning points. I think the French Revolution was really the first time where I think these Satanists just, in a at least Christian civilization, came out of the closet and just revealed who they were, what they were, and their absolute hostility to everything God teaches. The French Revolution, we get really a sanitized version of that in school and textbooks, if we learn anything about it at all. I learned about it in a French school, and it was always portrayed as a relatively decent thing where the people just got a little bit overzealous and maybe chopped off a few too many heads. But when you actually look at what was happening, it was ruthless persecution of the church. It was beheading of tens of thousands of innocent people who wouldn't denounce Christ, who wouldn't leave the ministry. They raised up a prostitute in Notre Dame Cathedral and said that people should worship it as the goddess of reason. And their hatred for Christianity and for the truth that God has revealed was so extreme they couldn't even tolerate a 7-day week. They wanted to shift over to a 10-day week because, of course, God created the world in 7 days, and so they thought 10 would be better. And we saw what the fruit of that was. It was bloodshed. It was terror. And France has never really fully recovered from that. And those ideas did make it over to America, but the American War for Independence could not have been more different. I mean, they were almost diametrically opposed, although there was a little bit of crossover in some of the individuals. The American War for Independence was much more aligned with biblical principles. But even George Washington recognized that these forces were already active in America. He actually wrote an incredibly interesting letter to a friend of his, a minister, who had given him a book called Proofs of a Conspiracy that was published in 1798 about this diabolical secret network that had been infiltrating all the institutions of Europe, primarily Freemasonry, interestingly enough. And it was a Freemason who wrote the book. And George Washington wrote back to his friend, "Oh, you're absolutely right. It's not my intention to doubt that this diabolical Illuminati is active here in the United States. To the contrary, and nobody's more sure of that than me." And so these forces have been at work, and unfortunately now in America, as more and more people have turned away from truth, as more and more people have turned away from the gospel, from what the Bible teaches, these same ideas have now become manifest, and we're seeing the fruit of that in the collapse of our society.
Yeah, we really are. And I put that whole category into one key word, and it's the word deception. There's so much deception that is going on today on so many levels. And as I was just sharing different aspects in the very open of the program, it's like any one of these we can go down the trail here to talk about. And some of these we will today. I'd like to talk about some of these. And it's really, as you know, like a tidal wave that is hitting us as a nation right now. But so many of these crises front and center. And I'd like to begin with COVID here today, if we could. Many people right now at the crossroads of this decision, should I or should I not take this vaccination? I saw an interesting article this week in the Epoch Times, a number of Chinese officials who are declining, saying, no, I can't do this for health reasons, taking the COVID vaccination. You've got America's frontline doctors who have been speaking out on so many aspects of this, but are being censored by media, social media, et cetera. And yet we have President Biden encouraging the nation to take this vaccine, calling it one's patriotic duty to take this. This whole matter of COVID has really struck at the heart of people here across this nation, especially as it relates to the transforming of a country that we've never seen before here in our land.
Yeah, it's an incredibly significant issue, and I think people really need to be in prayer about this. People need to be reading the Word of God. Personally, I have interviewed many doctors on this very subject, and these are doctors who you won't find on YouTube. In fact, YouTube has very diligently removed any of our interviews that cast doubt on the vaccine or that raise serious questions about it. And that right there in and of itself is enough to make me very suspicious. So I know I will not be taking it. I encourage everybody to really do your research, and you got to be very diligent in doing your research, because again, the censorship has become so overwhelming. Yeah. You can't just go to Google and expect that it's going to give you the real health concerns. You can't just go to YouTube and expect that you're going to find an uncensored discussion on these things. And so really, I think it's a very significant thing. People need to realize these are not approved by the FDA. They're out there under an emergency use authorization. It's a completely new technology that has never been used on a large scale in humans before. One of the doctors that I interviewed on this subject, Dr. Lee Merritt, she used to be the head of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, a wonderful medical organization. She told me about some of the animal studies that they had done with this technology, the mRNA so-called vaccines. She does not refer to them as that. And she said that all the animals died. And, you know, I don't want to be the one who is going to have these experiments done on me and my family, but I think it's a decision each individual has to make. But I would caution people to do serious research and recognize that Google and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter are deliberately trying to manipulate you.
I saw also a warning coming from the former vice president at Pfizer that was giving this warning, saying our government is lying to you in a way that could lead to your death. I mean, here is one of the main manufacturers and their former VP speaking out on this issue.
That's right, Dr. Yeadon, and he was the head of science. He was the chief of science there and the vice president. And when you have people like that, and there's many doctors mm-hmm. like this who are speaking out, the problem is you won't see them on television, you won't see them on social media, because the censorship has gotten so effective. Mm-hmm. In fact, some of our videos were banned before we could even make them public. And so I do encourage people, again, look at what these experts are saying. There's people who've been in the vaccine industry all their lives. Dr. Geert Vandenbosch in Belgium. He used to work for Bill Gates' vaccine operation. He's been developing vaccines all his life, and he's very pro-vaccine, which I'm much more skeptical. But even he is saying this might lead to a mass death event. And frankly, you know, when I look at the risks of COVID, in fact, I already had COVID. I caught it last summer. I'm young and I'm healthy and I'm not very much overweight. So for me, it wasn't a big deal. Everybody needs to look at their own risk profile. But when the whole world is trying to convince you of something and they're trying to silence everybody who's even asking questions, It ought to make us all very suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Alex, also, it was just Monday this week, and isn't that coming from, you know, conservative right-wing sources? I saw the Detroit News this past Monday's edition, and they reported this: as many as 246 Michigan residents considered fully vaccinated against COVID-19 were later diagnosed with the virus, and three have died. Fully vaccinated, and so all the things that we're being told from CDC, one does need to ask questions.
Absolutely, and we actually had a story like that in Florida, just right before I came up to Wisconsin. There was a report about people in Florida who were fully vaccinated, who were nevertheless getting COVID, and some of them dying. So we're taking all these risks with this experimental technology, supposedly to keep us safe from COVID, and yet we know for a fact that people who are getting these vaccines are ending up with COVID. When you add to that the complications, the mutations, is this going to keep people safe from other variants? I think there's just so much risk there for obviously not a lot of benefit. And you have interesting cases like a nunnery in Kentucky where the sisters there, a Catholic nunnery, they shut down everything as soon as the virus came out. And people can find this in local media reports from mainstream media. They didn't have any COVID, and then they let somebody in to vaccinate all of them. Suddenly a whole bunch of them got sick from COVID and died. So I'm very skeptical.
Putting COVID aside, let's jump here to the vaccination passports that we're seeing. First coming under New York, pushing them. Some states are taking executive action saying not in our state. We're not going to allow this to take place. But some are referencing these as being trace and track. Isn't this taking us down the pathway of control?
It is, and I hope people recognize the seriousness of this. This is one of those things that you really don't come back from. If we accept in principle the idea that we need to have injected into our bodies whatever the government says, whenever they say, and without that we can't participate in society, we are on the road to totalitarianism like we've never experienced in this country. And I encourage people to look at what has happened in China. You know, the vaccine, even if you agree that this COVID vaccine could be useful, even if you're terrified of the COVID, and I don't recommend being terrified of anything. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. But even if you are in agreement with this narrative, recognize that once these systems are in place, they can add anything they want to it. And I want to throw one more thing out about these vaccine passports, too. These were on my radar before anybody ever heard of COVID. The European Union, and I came across this in my research long before COVID was out, in 2019, in May, they released a proposal for a European-wide, and they even called it a vaccine passport.
Right.
So it's very, very troubling, and I think people need to. I'm so blessed to live in the state of Florida where our governor, our legislature have said that's absolutely not going to happen. But once this train leaves the station, once the juggernaut is moving, it's going to be something that we can't put back in the bottle.
No, we know where this is eventually going.
That's right. No buying or selling.
Right, right. There is sometime in our future coming that point in which there is going to be such a mandate where unless you take that mark, and by the way, speaking of the mark, I have seen now the tattoos that are coming out with a big V on the arm indicating I'm vaccinated and proud to show my arm in that regard.
Yeah, and you know, again, this stuff has been in place long before the COVID. Bill Gates was financing, and you can read the press release. It's at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's news service. They've been planning to do these tattoos to track people's vaccine status for years, and we need to resist.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman with us here today on the broadcast. And yes, COVID, a public health crisis, but guess what? There's another public health crisis that was announced by the president today, and so he brings about his measures for gun control. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about those huge flying reptiles?
Chris, some of the flying reptiles were as large as a mid-size aircraft. Some people have wondered how in the world they could have ever flown. As it turns out, they really couldn't fly in today's atmosphere. There's not enough air pressure to keep them up. Creationists have long supposed that the environment before the flood was quite different than now. We suspect that air pressure was quite a bit higher than now, making it more reasonable that these huge creatures could fly. Recently, an engineer built a model of one of these flying reptiles and tried to make it fly. He found that it had many wonderful adaptations to increase the flying ability, but there still wasn't enough air pressure to keep it aloft. To evolutionists, it's a big mystery, but to creationists, we at least have a plausible theory. And we get that by going back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
Transformation of a Nation, our topic today. Alex Newman with us today as he is a contributor to The New American, but also is executive director with Liberty Sentinel.
Yes.
Okay. And tell us about Liberty Sentinel.
So that actually started as a college newspaper. Me and several people at the University of Florida decided that we needed a newspaper to get the truth out in our area locally. It turned into a pretty significant operation. Eventually, we shut it down. I used it as a consulting firm for a while. And now it's still a company. I do a lot of my business through there. But I also have my personal blog on the front-facing website at libertysentinel.org. And it's mostly things that, you know, wouldn't really necessarily be suitable for any of the publications that I write for. Mostly, you know, my thoughts on theology and current events from a biblical perspective, not so much news writing. And then I publish things that I find interesting if I get permission from the authors or if they send it to me.
LibertySentinel.org. That's and right. Also, a lot of your columns do appear in The New American, thenewamerican.com.
That's right. Yep. I'm the senior editor at The New American. Actually, I was just up at their headquarters earlier this morning before coming down here. It's a phenomenal publication, and if people have not yet subscribed, at least to the free daily headlines, just go to thenewamerican.com, and you can put your email in, and you'll get it for free every day or every week if you prefer.
Thenewamerican.com. Well, we're talking about this public health crisis that came about with COVID, and just a few hours ago, President Biden declared a public health crisis and announced this new set of executive actions along with legislative proposals for gun control. But Alex, he said, quote, "Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment."
Yeah, and I think that's self-evidently ludicrous. I mean, the text of the Second Amendment is there for all to see. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And there's another part that often gets distorted by the people who want to confiscate firearms. And I think it's a very crucial part of understanding this. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the reason is because we need a well-regulated militia, which they say is actually essential to the security of a free state. And for all of Anglo-Saxon history, going back clear to the Magna Carta, it was understood that people had a duty. It wasn't just your right to keep weapons. It was a duty to keep firearms for the defense of your family and the state and your liberty and individuals and life and property. It was kind of an obligation. And I think we really need to get back to that. But when you have the government saying you need to ask for permission, you need to submit to these regulations, it just goes contrary to everything that is in the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment was added more as a formality, too. You know, the federal government was not given any authority to regulate firearms, which means clearly that they don't have that authority. And it's such an essential right because it helps guarantee all the rest. So I hope people are taking this seriously. And I wish people would go back in our history. You know, if you look, for example, at Oliver Cromwell, these people said the king has to obey the law as well. It's unacceptable. We're not going to just have a king ruling willy-nilly. King has to submit to God's law, and the king has to submit to the law. And so we've had this discussion for over 1,000 years in our history and our culture, and it's been firmly settled time and time again. We don't have rulers that have unlimited authority, and that extends to you can't just start regulating firearms with executive orders.
No doubt this is going to head to the courts almost immediately with mm-hmm. these orders that he's put out, also pursuing a legislative package. But I also want to point out that he has just nominated David Chipman to head the ATF, who is a gun control activist, also worked on the Branch Davidian trial as well. And I am sure we're going to be seeing things come from him that is going to impinge also on Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, and this is a full court press. I think they realize they have a window of opportunity, and they're trying to gain as much ground as they can. But the firearm battle is a very significant one. Even if you don't believe in firearms ownership, you don't want a gun personally, that's fine. But people need to recognize that it's a very significant, not just right, but responsibility. And I do think if you look back throughout not just our history, but throughout human history generally, when the government starts coming to collect people's weapons, it's not for their own good. In every case that we've seen this throughout human history, the Nazis, the communists, the totalitarians of every variety, when they start coming for the weapons, it's because they have very nefarious plans and they don't want to meet armed opposition.
Well, Alex says, you know, there's another emergency that's looming. It's the so-called climate emergency as well. And we've got the climate czar, John Kerry, doing this Chicken Little routine, The Sky is Falling, in which we now have just 9 years left and is hopeful that he's now hopeful that we can actually work with China to tackle this climate issue.
Yeah, and, you know, as somebody who has been to these UN conferences for over a decade, my entire career as a journalist, I've been going to these UN conferences. I've seen what this looks like up close and personal. And the issue of working with China, I think, is the dead giveaway. As far as I'm concerned, it proves that even the people conducting this train don't believe the hypothesis that underpins it all. And I'll break it down like this. I was in Paris, for example, when they came up with the Paris Agreement. So under the Paris Agreement, and we found out from documents that the Communist Chinese were actually advising the Obama administration through American environmental groups how they should do this, the U.S. government under Barack Obama agreed to slash our CO2 emissions by almost 30% by the year 2025. This was supposed to save us from global warming. The hypothesis is that CO2, the gas we exhale, is a pollution that's driving climate change. Under the same agreement, the Communist Chinese agreed that they were going to continue increasing their CO2 emissions until at least the year 2030. They're building coal-fired power plants faster than we can count them. And so what happens when the United States destroys its energy industry, destroys its power plants, destroys its ability to compete in the world? What happens is our manufacturers leave, our industries shut down, and everything moves over to China. Okay, a unit of output in China is far more CO2 intensive than it is in the United States. So if these people really believed that CO2 was so dangerous, that it was hurting the climate, on what planet would it make sense to move less CO2 intensive industry out of the United States over to China, where they're going to use slave labor and emit far more CO2? And as far as I'm concerned, that's all you need to know about this. They themselves don't believe this.
Right, right. Well, not only that, but now we have this $1.9 trillion spending plan we just had under the guise of COVID relief, which is less than 9%, 8% COVID relief,
right,
actually. Now we have this new trillions of dollar infrastructure plan that is underway. This is part one of that infrastructure. There's going to be a part two that is coming that is really going to have a significant impact. But a $2.75 trillion tax hike, very little of this is really going toward infrastructure. But this is part of the president's plan to deal with the climate crisis with this down payment, he's calling it a down payment on our infrastructure.
Yeah, and I actually just wrote a major cover story package for the New American Magazine on this exact subject. So I encourage people who are interested in this, and I think everybody needs to take an interest in this, to go check that out. What they are doing is actually dismantling what's left of the American economy. This is going to be just absolutely, utterly destructive of what remains of our productive capacity. And the jobs that they're destroying, to be clear, these are the jobs that actually make life possible. These are the people who produce our food. These are the people who build actual things, who make the things that we need to live. Not the paper-pushing jobs, and we're shifting them all out of the country. So this Biden infrastructure plan, as you know, a lot of it has nothing to do with infrastructure,
right,
getting more children into government care at earlier and earlier ages. What in the world does that have to do with infrastructure? I think the way to understand what's happening is this is a deliberate effort to undermine our nation, and the primary beneficiary, other than the elites in the United States, the cronies that are benefiting from all this, is the Communist Party of China, the most murderous dictatorship in all of human history.
And we're cozying up to them.
That's right. And this has been going on for a long time. Again, in Paris, it was so clear. And then shortly after that, the governor of California came out and signed a new agreement with the Communist Chinese. It boggles the mind. But when you realize that the elites in the United States are very friendly with the Communist Chinese, and they're very unfriendly, obviously, to the American people, you start to see where this is all going.
But don't dare play the all-star game in Georgia.
Right. But China, that's totally
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, just amazing. There is also efforts underway, as you know, to transform our federal court system, and hundreds of new federal judges to the lower courts. There's discussions going on even now about using this act of reconciliation, a procedural act, to see enhancement of the courts. Even Justice Breyer just came out warning against doing this. This is not the direction that we should go. And coupled with that, as you comment about the courts, I also want to mention that President Biden just nominated the first Muslim to the federal bench. This would be one that is a magistrate judge for the District of New Jersey. This would be the first time in our nation's history that we're putting a Muslim on the federal bench.
Yeah, and I think it's illustrates the issue that we're dealing with here. That is American apostasy. Our nation was founded on biblical principles, and we have moved so far away from that to the point where now our children in California in elementary school are chanting to the demon gods of the Aztecs, the gods of human sacrifice and cannibalism. America has gone rogue. And, you know, we, as unfortunate as what's going on with the courts is right now, it's already become clear to me that the courts are a dead end when it comes to actually getting justice in this country. I think the 2020 election proved that conclusively. We appealed to our state courts. We appealed to our federal courts. We appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. They wouldn't even look at the evidence. They just threw the cases out without even looking at the evidence. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in the position that the founding generation was in the 1770s. They appealed to the king. They appealed to the parliament. They appealed to the king's judges. And at every turn, they were spit on. They were ignored. They were demonized. They were attacked. And they finally said, it's time to appeal to heaven. That's all that we have left. Now we appeal to God, the highest authority. And I think that's where we are now as Americans, as believers. We've run out of human institutions to appeal to.
Yeah, and to echo the words of Abraham Lincoln, we have forgotten God.
That's
we
right.
have that proclamation. Well, this past Monday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen rejected the America First agenda of President Trump and made it very clear that her priority is this international order, even calling for a minimum global corporate income tax. She said, over time, a lack of global leadership and engagement makes our institutions and economy vulnerable.
Yeah, this is actually the tip of the iceberg for something even more significant than that, Jim. And it's one of the early stories that I sunk my teeth into as a young journalist, fresh out of university, out of journalism school. And that was what was happening with the IMF. The International Monetary Fund, for those who don't know, is international financial institution set up after World War II. But there have been efforts. They've been grooming this institution to become the global central bank for quite some time now. And as part of that, they are now issuing $1 trillion worth of special drawing rights. This is the future global currency, they hope. And they have the complete cooperation of Janet Yellen in the bypassing of our Congress. Federal law actually mandates that Congress approve any IMF issuance over a certain amount. And so now they're doing a shady deal where they've split it up. They're going to do $650 billion this year, $350 billion next year to avoid that requirement. And it all goes toward this international system that they're building, where basically the IMF would become the global central bank, kind of serving the purpose that the Federal Reserve serves here to empower the U.S. government. The IMF as the global central bank, creating special drawing rights out of thin air to finance the international architecture, the United Nations, the UN COPs, the UN armies. And you add to that then the international tax system that they're bringing in. And the U.S. government, unfortunately, during the Obama administration led the way. Any American who has lived overseas during this time can tell you all about it. They passed a series of laws that basically tried to standardize international reporting of taxes. It was devastating to Americans overseas, to missionaries, to teachers. And that's the direction that they're moving. And if somebody doesn't step in to stop them, within the not too distant future, the dollar will be sidelined as the international reserve currency. The American standard of living will decline precipitously. And we will be in a truly international system where the final checks and balances on this global architecture, this global governance that they've built up, will have been smashed and swept away.
You know, it's amazing to see that at one time it was the UN or the Secretary of the UN that was calling for this global tax to take place. And the uproar that happened across the nation, now it's our own Secretary of the Treasury calling for a global tax to take place.
It's incredible.
Alex Newman with us here today. Where is this headed, folks? Where is this all going? We're going to discuss that after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America as we talk about the transformation of a nation right here on the VCY America Network.
Entertainment has become the draw to build churches and youth groups. Meanwhile, sound biblical teaching has fallen off the cliff. To many, it's all about numbers and little about the Bible. Play the Flute, a powerful DVD, addresses this issue head on. Play the Flute tells the story of one youth leader who would not give up, who would not surrender to the apathy taking over his new youth group.
The Lord Jesus is looking for followers who realize that they are sinners and need a Savior. These are His terms, and I can't change them.
From Rich Cristiano comes Play the Flute, a powerful story on DVD available from VCY America for a donation of $18 or more. And for a limited time, additional copies sent to the same address are available for a donation of just $15 more. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman in studio with us here today. And you can read his columns at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. You can also check out his site at libertysentinel.org. Alex, as we were talking about so many of these things, and as I referenced earlier, it's like a tidal wave that's hitting us as a nation. It's just issue after issue that is coming our direction, and not to mention the border crisis. And then we mentioned the things that are going on in China, the North Korea. The question is, where is all of this headed? It's not by accident. Where is this headed?
I think the Bible is the one and only accurate answer to that. If you look at what prophecy tells us we're heading into, and I have no idea what the timeline is going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be 5 years from now or 50 years from now, maybe 500 years from now. Maybe God puts a stop to it for a while. I don't know. But ultimately, this is leading to a one-world satanic system where believers will be ruthlessly persecuted. And, I mean, if we're honest, believers are already being ruthlessly persecuted around most of the world. Communist China, the Middle East, I mean, everywhere you see Christians are being imprisoned. I mean, in Canada now, for crying out loud, it's at our doorstep. And I think that's where this is heading. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be a reprieve. That doesn't mean God won't step in and push the pause button for a minute. And we might even get some of our liberties back, God willing, if he chooses to bless us in that way. But over the long term, I think it's very clear we're heading to this one world system with a one world financial system where you will not be able to buy or sell if you don't take the mark. And I think believers need to have that in mind. God reveals these things to us for a reason, and I think everybody needs to have at least a rudimentary understanding of eschatology. We don't need to maybe know every detail and obsess about it all day, every day, but we do need to have a clear picture of where this world is headed and recognize that our hope is not ultimately in this world.
Amen. Amen. Alex, I know, too, you've been on with us. You've talked about the Great Reset. Others, Tom DeWeese and others, have talked about this Great Reset here on the program. And it's interesting to see so much is culminating toward that on a world perspective. We've got the likes of CEOs of Bank of America, MasterCard, right in the back pocket of this Great Reset discussion.
Yeah, the Great Reset, I think, is so significant. And it was interesting because we warned about this in the New American in June of 2020, right when they announced it. I mean, you had the head of the UN, the head of the IMF, the head of the World Economic Forum, and Prince Charles coming out and telling us that everything is going to change. And, you know, where Klaus Schwab was talking about the Fourth Industrial Revolution and what a key part this was. The Fourth Industrial Revolution, if you listen to what he himself is saying and writing about it, is the merger of man and machine, the implanting of technology in our bodies. So this is an incredibly significant change, and we were ridiculed. We were demonized. We were called conspiracy theorists by the New York Times for pointing out these things that anybody could have seen on YouTube. The World Economic Forum is telling us by 2030 you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. So they've been, to their credit, pretty transparent about where they're going. It's just that the media hasn't reported it. But it is perfectly in line with what we're talking about. It's this enormous global push to fundamentally transform everything. And I think the simplest way for a Christian to understand it is everything God has ordained for our good, these people, these powers, these principalities are warring against, and that extends to the family, that extends to the economic system, it extends to even the existence of the nation state, and I think that's how we need to understand this.
Look where we've gone in the past 12 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the shuttering of churches to a vaccination passport, I mean, in just such a short period of time.
Yeah, and we're starting to see now some of this architecture being put in place. You know, you can't buy or sell in a lot of places if you don't put a thing on your face,
right,
by you know, some executive decree of somebody who has no authority to do that. And people thought, oh, that'll never happen, that we can't buy or sell without it. Well, now we see the architecture, the infrastructure of this being laid down right in front of our eyes. And I think it's important that people realize that if we don't resist now, there may be no going back. Once you get far enough down that road, you can't just wake up and say, oh, you know what, I think I didn't really like the tyranny, let's go back to what we had before. You can't go back anymore.
Let's open our phone lines today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Alex Newman is our guest here in studio today, and just circling back to COVID, and this was news to me when I learned just earlier this week that under FEMA,
There is now funeral assistance for those deaths coming about as with COVID in their death certificate. Matter of fact, looking at FEMA's website here, you are a U.S. citizen, non-citizen national, or qualified alien who paid for funeral expenses after January 20th, 2020, and the funeral expenses were for an individual whose death in the U.S. territories or District of Columbia may have been caused by or was likely the result of COVID-19. FEMA will begin accepting applications for funeral assistance on Monday, April 12th through a dedicated call center. And they're reimbursing Alex for transportation for up to two individuals to identify the deceased individual, the transfer of the remains, the casket or urn, the burial plot, the marker or headstone, clergy or officiant services, arrangement of the funeral ceremony, the use of the funeral home equipment and staff, the cremation or interment cost, costs associated with producing and certifying multiple death certificates, and assistance is limited to a maximum of $9,000 per funeral, a maximum of $35,500 per application per state, territory, or District of Columbia.
Yeah, and I think they understand very well that the effect of that is going to be to massively boost the number of COVID deaths. And we've seen already huge tinkering with the numbers. I mean, in Florida, we had labs that were returning 100% positive COVID results. We had people dead from motorcycle crashes that were called COVID patients. And this will be a nice big incentive for even more deaths to be labeled COVID deaths.
What about COVID deaths from the vaccine itself? And I just bring this up because just today I was on CDC's website. This is not my words. This is CDC. Over 167 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines were administered in the U.S. from December 14, 2020 through April 5, 2021. During this time, VIRS received 2,794 reports of death among people who received COVID-19 vaccine. A review of available clinical information, including death certificates, autopsy, medical records, revealed no evidence that vaccination contributed to patient deaths.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things about the VAERS reporting system is that they themselves acknowledge they get less than 1% of all the adverse reactions. And I know multiple people, in fact, a very close family member of mine, whose name I won't mention because I don't have their permission, took the COVID vaccine. Less than 48 hours later, their heart stopped, and they spent about a month in the hospital, and health has still not recovered from there. And, of course, the doctor said, oh, that had nothing to do with the vaccine, and that's what they're telling most of the people who are being harmed by these vaccines.
Joseph is calling from Sussex, Wisconsin. Hi, Joseph. You're on the air.
Hello, Alex. My question to you involves the word no, N-O. And as I look at world events in general, I see central organizing theme or common denominators, which I attribute back to the modern American evangelical church and specifically Christian men and their inability to say no to these various sins that have penetrated our society. And I think that what we've suffered under for the last three or four decades is what I would call a peacetime theology and, you know, the gentle Jesus, et cetera. And I want to ask you, do you think it's time that we as a church shift to a more wartime theology, more of a theology that the Black Robe Regiment had back in the day in 1776, where they gave us the tools, the biblical tools to say no and to back it up with biblical action, maybe a reformation or revival. Any thoughts on that?
Thank you, Joseph.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call. I couldn't agree more. In fact, just this morning I was listening to a sermon that was sent to me because it was banned by YouTube by a brother up here in Wisconsin, Pastor Matt Trujillo, who's been very active in expounding on the doctrine of interposition. And I actually, I'm not an ordained minister, but I was invited to preach a sermon at a big Baptist church in Florida about these very issues. Is it time to start saying no to the government? So if people want to know more on that, it's almost all scripture. I encourage you to go take a look at that. It's available on my YouTube channel and other places. But I firmly believe that there is a time and a place to say no to the government and no to the culture. And Romans 13 needs to be understood in that context. The Bible is absolutely filled with examples of godly heroes saying no. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the Hebrew midwives and even the apostles and the disciples say no. You know, is it better to obey God or men? And we are now at the point in our history, you know, for hundreds of years in America, you could do both. You could obey God and men. But we are now very quickly approaching a time where we need to go back, dust off our Bibles, and say, what does God say about these issues? We have an obligation to obey God and not men if there's a conflict between the two, and we need to brush up on that because the time is coming where we're going to have to put that into practice.
Thank you, Joseph. And we remember the words of Jerry Nadler about God's will being of no consequence of this Congress, no significance to this Congress,
yeah,
he had said recently. Christy's calling from Rogue River, Oregon. Christy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Jim. I thank God for you and Alex and Gary calling people. Thank you, Jim, for all the people that you put on that keep us aware and alert. It's so important. And I study this coronavirus so much. And like you said, Alex, it is a technology. And anyway, I won't get into all that because you are. But anyway, I wanted to ask you what you thought about, I know we need to be prepared, but yet trust God first and then let him lead and guide. So I'm as prepared as we can be, but I know the scripture saying about you have heaped up gold and silver for the last days and they will be cankered and all that. But I'm thinking, do you think that that's a smart idea to maybe purchase a little bit of that for preparation and till the Lord comes?
Thank you, Christy.
Great question. And it's something that I've wrestled with myself. And I think there's a good balance there. We don't want to make it into an idol. We don't want to put our trust in whatever gold or silver or assets that we're able to accumulate, because ultimately our only security is going to be in Christ.
Amen.
However, the Bible does say if we don't take care of our family, if we don't provide for our family, we've denied the faith, then we're worse than an infidel. And to me, that means I need to take prudent precautions for eventualities that may come. And that means I need to save a little money. And that means I need to have some assets that can't be vaporized because the Federal Reserve's out of control. So I do think there's a time and a place for that, just as long as we're always clear that our security is not in our financial assets or our investments. It's in Christ.
Thank you, Christy, for the call. Star is next, calling from Marshfield, Wisconsin. Star, you're on the air.
Okay, we're one nation under God. That's how we were started. But now, if you look at 2 Chronicles 16:12, in the 39th year of Asa, he started out a good king, but he ends up diseased in his feet. Tells it was great, and he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. We aren't supposed to be looking to our government for this vaccine to save us. We're supposed to go to Exodus 15:26. If you listen to the voice of your Lord, your God, do that which is right in his eyes, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer, and our nation has forgotten that.
Thank you, Star, for your comment. We see that often throughout Israel, how they warned, you follow me, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you prosperous, but if you don't, all these diseases you've seen upon the Egyptians, it's going to come your way as well.
Yeah, and I think about that so often with what's come on America. You look at the punishments that God dispensed to his people when they started worshiping idols, when they started sacrificing their children, and it's just such a parallel with what we're seeing in America today. Tyranny and disease and chaos and a declining economy. All the things that Israel and Judah saw when they betrayed God. And, I mean, there's more, too, right? God used mass murdering pagan dictators to punish his people, and I don't think Americans are out of the woods. So we need to be, we just need to be in Christ. He is our security.
Thank you for the call here, Star. We'll come back to more questions, more of your calls here after the break. Alex Newman in studio with us here today. Again, his website is thenewamerican.com. You can read his columns there, thenewamerican.com and libertysentinel.org. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. In February of 2021, the United States Navy put out a report entitled Extremism Stand Down. I had the report within 9 days of it being released because a friend of mine in military intelligence sent me the PDF. This document, which I'm sure has been made for other branches of the military, is all about the fact that the military will not be making promotions until they clean out the military from all of the extremists. As you read the document, you find out that by extremist, they mean, among other things, people that possess and live out the values of a Judeo-Christian worldview. People must not only accept, but embrace and even celebrate the LGBTQ agenda. The terms in this document are well, open to interpretation. You can't attend a rally, financially support, post information online from anyone that's called an extremist. Would that be you? Would that be this radio network?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman in studio with us today. We're going right back to the phone lines, and let's go to a caller in Kentucky. Hi, caller. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim, and hello, guest. I would like to posit to you that what Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett envisioned for this country in terms of compliance with UN, the UN agenda, is a new Africa under Muslim control and establishing Sharia law as our law in this country, and using the other factions of the Democrat Party, such as LGBTQ, such as a large Latino minority population in this country, also, for example, Satanists, to accomplish his goal according to Marxist theology. And there is about to be a conference going on about the Syrian refugees, along with tens of thousands, literally, of various pockets of African refugees that are holed up all through Southern Europe and the Canary Islands and other places, even moving repositioning Muslims from Europe to the West, and particularly America. So my vision is very specific for what the agenda is. They would like the U.S. to be a Muslim majority country. As a matter of fact, a black Muslim majority country.
Okay, we'll have Alex comment on these issues. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. There's so much there to unpack. And, you know, I want to start off by saying I don't think Satan is really picky. As long as you're not worshiping the true God, he doesn't care what false religion you're involved in. You can worship the Aztec deities of human sacrifice. You can worship Moloch. You can worship Baal. You can worship your money. You know, just as long as you're not worshiping God. And so that agenda is there in every country, in every time throughout all of human history. Satan wants you worshiping idols. As for the agenda to flood the United States, not just the United States, but all nations with huge migratory flows, I think this is also really part of a satanic agenda. We know from Scripture that God is the one who ordained that there should be nations. He tells us in the New Testament. He tells us in the Old Testament. And what we're seeing now throughout the nations of the West, but not really just the West, is an effort to break down that concept. And so you go to, for example, London, where Brits are now a minority in their own capital city. You go to Frankfurt, one of the great cities of Germany, where Germans are now a minority. You go to Malmo, one of the great cities of Sweden, where Swedes are now a minority. And you get a sense of where this is all going. You know, people wake up one day and they say, hey, I have nothing in common with these people. I don't share the same language. I don't have the same history. I don't have the same religion. I don't have the same culture. I can't even talk to them. What do we have this thing called a nation state for? Why do we have a national parliament? Just dissolve the whole thing and we'll move to a global, or first a regional and then ultimately a global system. So I think that's the real agenda. But yeah, Satan always wants people worshiping false gods and idols. And we're seeing all of that. And unfortunately, we had a protective barrier against that in the United States for a long time, and unfortunately that is now breaking down.
Thank you for the call here from Kentucky. I wish we had more time to dialogue here, but other callers lined up. We're going to Diana next in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Diana. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to ask if you have ever seen a clip of a video where Bill Gates is briefing the CIA on vaccinations, how they can actually change the thinking of people through vaccinations, and it was a clip that was made in April 13th of 2005. And also, just wanted to comment that I have a friend that works at Raytheon and said that they do have nanobots there at Raytheon. And I don't know, I mean, just saying something that was mentioned to me.
Thank you, Diana. Okay.
Yeah, I have seen that video. My understanding is that that was not Bill Gates, but it is a very concerning video. There's a presentation being given. I'm not sure if it was the DOD or the CIA, but they talk about how this supposed vaccine can help counter religious extremism by neutralizing a certain part of the brain. And it was presented in the context of, you know, jihadi Islamist terrorism. But, of course, the applications we know as Christians, we know ultimately that is aimed at God's people. So we do need to be very wary of that. And that's not the only concern. I mean, there is several videos of Bill Gates talking about how he wants to use vaccines to reduce the population of mankind. And he says it openly. And he comes up with the excuse that it's just so that less kids will die and then parents will have less kids. But very, very troubling. And I think people really should be aware of all this.
Yeah, you think about it. We need more vaccinations in order to reduce the population.
And it's so unbiblical, right? God told us to be fruitful and multiply. He told us children are a blessing. We need more children, not less.
David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your teaching at the Brookside Baptist Church. When a person gets born again, when I got saved, regenerated, God quickened my dead spirit, and Peter says I became I got a new DNA. I became a
new creature.
Partaker of of God's DNA, it said. So I've got his divine nature, it says in Peter, but then Almighty, and I got the RNA of the Redeemer, an RNA, and God instructed me to warn the body of Christ not to take the vaccine and not to depend on the small g, fucking government, but the big G, God.
And that's the very thing you're talking about, is relying, keeping our eyes on God.
Amen. Yeah, and that's what we need to do. God is going to be our security. God's going to be our safety. And whenever the world has something that contradicts what God has revealed to us, we always need to come down on the side of God.
Let's go to another David in Pewaukee. You're on the air, David.
Hi. I was thinking about what you were talking about with the disarming, and I found a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and it's verse 19. It says, there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. I mean, they disarmed, and I had a note in my Bible that says, a nation set to control others disarms its citizens first. And Saul and Jonathan were in the same situation thousands of years ago, and it's the same satanic thing. If anybody wants to watch a movie, Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Thank you, David, for the... Your response here, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the scriptures are clear that people should be armed. In fact, Jesus says it explicitly in Luke. He tells people, if you don't have a sword and you don't have money for a sword, then go sell your cloak and buy yourself one. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we need to be a warlike people. In fact, God has called us to be peacemakers. However, I believe it is important for us to be armed, and I believe it's very important for us to defend all of our God-given rights, particularly the one that protects the rest.
Thank you for the call. We are out of time here on the broadcast today. Alex Newman, our guest. And Alex, so good to have you in studio today.
So great to be here. Thank you so much, Jim.
And friends, check out the website, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, also at libertysentinel.org. And you'll find a number of columns there and perspectives on news that you're not going to receive from other sources. Thanks for tuning in today to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.